All right, here we are. Welcome back to the Strongest Ride podcast. We are here for a fantastic episode with two special guests today, which is nice. So double the fun for you. Lydia, how are you doing, first of all?
I'm good. I just like lost my Zoom. I can't find
it. Your eyes were darting all over the screen, but I was like, I'm just going to get going and you'll figure it out by the time already.
Gosh. Good. We all know tech is not my strong point.
Oh, we do.
And I just lost the good old Zoom, even though I've been doing it for who knows how long. In fact, 100 episode, guys. Let's celebrate. We can't remember if it was
this one, the next one.
I'm not sure.
We should just count them.
Oh, it takes too long to count. But well, cheers to us. Cheers to 100.
Cheers. Let's cling our champagne glasses.
If you're on a run, I want you to do a little hoppity skip in the air to celebrate.
And have a sip of your Salomon flask.
Oh yeah, we love it. Anyway, so tell me what's been happening, how are you going? I am aware that you're making some good progress with your rehab for your hamstring, so tell me, how about that?
How about that? Oh, you know what I said yesterday, which made me, I just thought of you and I really struggled to like compose myself. I was doing a pre-employment medical screening with someone and I was meant to ask them, have you had any head injuries or whiplash? And I said, headlash or whip injuries.
I'm not surprised.
I knew it was wrong, but I couldn't figure out why it was wrong.
I really would love to have like a little camera that just like, or like just an audio device, a microphone that records all the things that I say that are wrong throughout the day. Gosh. Like some of the things I say to patients. So I'm so sorry if you're my patient and you've heard me say, I don't know what, but everything is just a weird, like some words just aren't even words. And I just keep going, I act confident, act natural, act smooth, and hope that no one notices. But often I'm like, I replay it. I'm like, oh no, that was not a sentence. It's just a word. No. It was just two words. But
yeah. Know. That was like our video the other day with Kev from Ground Up, which you should all check out on our Instagram. But Lydia said, instead of drop, jump, drop, hump. So Kevin, can you just perform a drop, hump for us, please?
I'm glad you didn't.
Me too. He did not consent to the drop, hump. All right, moving right along.
I'm going to tell you about my week before you even ask.
Did you ask me first? I haven't even started. It's all about you. Firstly, I was telling you my word that I said, and then you go on about how you say all the weird words, and now you just want to talk about your week. I haven't had my moment yet.
Okay. I was shocked
that you asked me first, though. I'm like, whoa, look at me.
You always ask me first, and I've told you I don't like going first.
So right, well, let me have it. You just sit back. Mute yourself for a while and I'm going to.
Okay.
So as you said, my rehab is on the up. We are having some progress. I think the last time we spoke, I don't know if I'd done the 19K run with Sydney Marrow Run Club by then, but that was a little bit achy, that last lap of Sydney P. So probably about 15, 16Ks was okay. And then I don't know if it was just like I was kind of mentally over the run or if it was really my hammy, but I was like, oh, I just don't really want to do this last lap. And yeah, it did get a little bit uncomfortable, but recovered well from that, took it easy on Monday and Tuesday after that, and then did a 12K, felt good. So I'm okay with sort of 10 to 14Ks pretty comfortably now. Once I get beyond that and once I add in hills, still not fantastic. So I accidentally did some hills last night and it didn't love it. So still a bumpy road, but definitely on the up and just enjoying running again. Like I like just being able to go out and just kind of run without thinking about it too much within reason, like still trying to stick to the flat, still going pretty slow, still having a high cadence, all those things. But before I was very much like, oh, I can only do 5Ks or whatever it was. So now I feel like I've got a little bit more freedom back. I can enjoy it again. I went for a run at Thoreau National Park this morning, which was really nice as always. Like I feel like anytime I'm there, it's just always so pretty and just so nice. And I just want to spend so long there and jump in the water and sit by the beach and take it all in. But I did a lovely little 10K trot around there, which was nice. Again, a couple of hills, but I just walked them. I always, in my head, I don't know about you, but I always imagine that run to be like pretty flat. Like I'm like, oh, it's pretty much just like a boardwalk. It's just flat.
Yeah.
But there's a few little sneaky ups every now and then. So kept me honest.
It keeps you honest. It's so interesting about that because I know that's my thing. It's so interesting. I'm so interested in you.
You need a new word. But thank you. Appreciate it.
Because I reckon when you say that a run is flat, it's always so much hillier than you want it to be. And same as like, if you're like, oh, it's a really hilly run, every time you're like, oh, it wasn't that bad. So I reckon you just, it's the mindset. I mean, that's just the theme of everything in life, isn't it? But it is. It's so, it is like, there's so many runs that I just think of as flat. And then every time I do them, I get such a shock that there's hills. And I'm like, it's the same one all the time. Like I run from work sometimes down to Centennial Park. And obviously like Senny P is flat, but it's actually like a little bit downhill kind of on the way. And then, but I think of it as flat. So like on the way back, I'm always like, where did this hill come from? Like, I think as well at the moment, we're both just very hypervigilant with the hills, with our hamstrings.
Yeah.
At least I have been for a long, long time, and I'm going on the up too. So I'm aware you're walking. On
the metaphorical up or the physical up?
Well,
are you climbing the hills or are you improving?
Both. I'm doing right. Both, but I've got a new injury, which is on the down. So, you know, ups and downs.
tricks. So, what is tricks, it? Something in troughs. What's the up piece? Tricks and puffs.
And little treats at the top of the tricks peaks.
All right, we'll go on then. Tell us about this new injury.
Right. Well, I don't want to get too self-indulgent in my injury chat because I feel like it's just a continuous theme my whole life, blah, 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 all the different things. But this, I feel like the reason I wouldn't have mentioned it, or I hadn't mentioned it, not that like everyone needs to know all the details about my various different ailments, but I didn't think it was a running injury, and I still don't know if entirely sure if it is, but I've got a hip situation happening. Like I've got some groin pain basically, and I initially just brushed it off because I was like, I think it's my adductor, I think it's my hip flexor, and I was like, not to worry about it. But I've actually investigated a little bit further, and I actually think it's a bit more jointy, and I think it is my hip joint, which has become very irritated every time I try and do any deep squatting or deep lunging or Bulgarians, which is so annoying because everyone should know that they're probably some of my favorite exercises outside of calf raises are deep squats and Bulgarians, because they are so good for proximal hamstrings, which I've been trying to rehab and been doing such a great job. My hamstring is feeling so good, but now I've got a new injury, which is like the position that it doesn't like is like the position that I need to get in for my hammy rehab. So, you know, it's not exactly ideal, but you know what I'm doing? I'm just not putting it in the positions that it doesn't like. My colleague literally said to me the other day, he's like, what if you just like don't like go into really deep squats? And I was like, oh yeah, like why didn't I think of that? Why don't I just not squat into that really compressed position? So I'm gonna reel it back on my squatting, reel it back on my lunging and bulks, and just see how we go with some more like quad dominant type squatting patterns, and then do my glute type exercises and hammy exercises in different positions.
Okay. Well, it sounds like you've come up with a bit of a management strategy, which is positive, because at first it does seem a bit inconvenient that the thing that you need to be doing is disrupted by this new revelation. So that must be quite frustrating, but sounds like you got a little bit of a plan of attack. So that is good.
Yeah.
And at least the hammy is kind of settled. So you're sort of out of that danger zone, maybe. So you can, I don't know, I'm not quite sure. I'm trying to think of something great and positive. But like,
I don't need you to be positive. I appreciate great. Neutrality. Remember, I'm the queen of neutrality.
Sure.
And it's a journey, and it's not about the destination. And I'm yet to officially diagnose it. And I still wouldn't say the hamstring's gone. But you know what? Overall, the summary is body's feeling pretty good. I've had a few like 85 to 90K weeks the last month or 5 weeks, and then had a little deload week, and everything's just cruising along, going to training, doing the things, doing the social runs. And I think I'm going to try my hamstring out in the bush either this weekend or the next weekend, which will be the first time back in the bush for a long time. And oh, I'm so excited. I'm so ready to be a trail runner again.
It is so nice. I'd forgotten how nice it is. I went for my jog this morning, as we spoke about before, and oh my gosh, it was just like there was just something so just calming and comforting about being in nature, and especially at Royal National Park, where there's like not really any reception either. So you just kind of out there in the wilderness and enjoying it. So I'm really excited for you to get back out there, and I'm excited for us to get back out there together on the trails once again.
Yeah, definitely. I think I realized too, when I lived in Coffs, like I would run in the trails at least once a weekend, often twice on the weekend, and often even on like a midweek run, because I could get to the bush in like 10 to 15 minutes, sometimes less than that, depending on where I'd go. And so I did so much trail running. And when I moved to Sydney, I knew that I wouldn't have as close access, but obviously I've got access to Blue Mountains and Royal National Park, which I can go to on my days off, but just obviously not being able to do it with my injury. I've been very like, cool, like awesome, just focus on road running and like it's convenient not having to drive to the bush. But the weekend just gone, I was in Jervis Bay and I went for this little walk, like little trail walk, and I just started running. Like it was like a walk, but I just like ran a few Ks in the middle of my walk because I just, oh, it was just so nice. It was just like this beautiful trail and it wasn't too technical and it was like relatively flat with like a few little undulations. And I just was like, oh, this is just the moment to run. Like I shouldn't be walking on this. Like it feels so good to run. And so I just did this little jog and I was like, oh, it was made me realize how much I've missed it. So yeah, it's good to sort of acknowledge that and is making me excited and also feeling patient to fully get back there, but mostly excited.
Good. Very good. Ready to talk about the episode?
Oh yeah. Let's
Very good. So we have the dynamic duo of Warren and Jordan Williams, who are a father and son duo who have some coaching businesses in the Sydney's East. They have some quite elite junior athletes in one of their squads and then working kind of with everyday people in Warren's squad. So they've got huge numbers, something like 300 athletes at the moment, which is just hard to fathom. Really, really good at what they do. I've spent a little bit of time with both of them kind of observing and checking out how they do things and found it quite inspiring and motivating to, yeah, just build relationships with athletes and get to understand them really closely. So in today's episode, we talked about both of their backgrounds, how they got into coaching, kind of their athletic journeys as well. And then Warren talked about his health journey and what has happened with his heart and some events that happened in 2021 that led to a little bit of change in his, I guess, perspective around running due to his health. And because of all of this, Jordan is now fundraising and running an event called the Heartbreak 100 Challenge, where he's running up and down Heartbreak Hill 25 times, 2Ks up, 2Ks down, totaling 100 kilometers in a row, all to raise funds and awareness for St. Vincent's Hospital.
Yeah, I'm shaking my head as you say that because I just like the details are correct, but I just
I didn't get it wrong
so many times. Okay? No, it was great. It's just it's a lot, isn't it? Like, I mean, I haven't even run up Heartbreak Hill once, and 100 k's of Heartbreak Hill is just enormous, and all for an incredibly good cause. So we talk about all the details of that in the episode and how you can get behind it and how you can show up on the day to support the cause. And yeah, we'll have all the details in the show notes as well, links that you can reach out to Jordan or Woz for their coaching services and to hear about what they're doing. So I think this episode was a good reminder to just be so grateful and appreciative of your health, and also just a sense of, well, I mean, I guess just gratitude again for how resilient the body can be as well, because yeah, some pretty scary stuff was chatted about, and it made me feel very grateful and also sort of like quite empowered to of like, yeah, like just get out and be grateful for what you've got. And yeah, it was a really nice episode, very meaningful. So yeah, enjoy the show, guys.
Definitely. And if you're around on the 5th of August, head down and run a lap or two with Jordan. I'm sure he'd appreciate as many people coming down as possible. So definitely get there. If you need any Tailwind nutrition to fuel your Heartbreak Hill challenge or whatever you're pursuing, you can use our link below. And also there's a discount code for some Vivo barefoot shoes. So help yourself, enjoy, and we will chat to you in the next one. Welcome back to the Strongest Ride podcast. Today we are joined by Jordan and Woz Williams, who are two sensational running coaches from Sydney's East, and they've got a little bit of a story to share about Warren's health and what Jordan is doing to raise funds and awareness for a fantastic cause coming up in August. So guys, you want to let the listeners know a little bit about yourself? I don't know who wants to go first. You can choose that, but give us a little bit of context about what you do with yourselves and your running and coaching journeys.
You go first, man.
I'm going first. All right. Well, I guess
First, the most important key point is that we're a father and son coaching team. There's not a lot of those around, I guess. So that's a you know, really crucial point for us. We've built a bit of a running community in the eastern suburbs with having two squads, a junior squad up and running, which is led by Jordan, and the run squad, which is led by myself, which is predominantly an adult group, but also has some juniors running with it. And a lot of Jordan's kids cross over sometimes to do some sessions with me when they can't fit in around their school and university and things like that. So it's a good community. We've got probably about 300 people running with us now of all ages, from 6 through to about 80 is the oldest, and all levels, beginner right through to elites. So it's a great community to have.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I'd love to hear more about that. But just 300 athletes, just as a first point, is just insane. I'm amazed that you can manage that and know everyone. And I know that I've spent a little bit of time with both of you and watched your coaching, and you have such a personal relationship with all your athletes, and you know so many little things about them. And I'm amazed that you can manage to do that. So I'd love to hear a little bit more about that. But Jordan, if you want to introduce yourself as well.
Yeah, I'm Jordan, as you just said. But yeah, he basically told you what we do together. I control most of the junior team. Warren's basically the adults. We've kind of mixed them together. We've built an East Elite squad now as well, where it's kind of some of the elite runners from Waz's group that have come down to the track and stuff and running with my elite boys and that. So yeah, we've, you know, been doing that for a couple of months now as well, but both of our businesses have been going for, you know, I think I'm about 7 years now. Warren's about 5 to 6 or something. Yeah, I was an ex-DJ. I did that for a while coming out of school, and now I'm just basically focusing on the coaching. It's a great job. I love it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's so cool. I'd love to hear how you went through that journey, Jordan. I think when you're a junior athlete, you were quite successful as a runner, and then obviously found DJing and other things and kind of lost the interest, and then you've found your way back into it. So can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Yeah, of course. Look, I'll go back kind of to the start. I was, you know, in primary school about year five or six or something. And, you know, I won my cross country at school, and I think I won the zone level as well and things like that, moved up to regional. And, you know, Warren had a really good background with all of running and triathlon and stuff like that. So we kind of knew it was in the genes a little bit. And I moved into year seven, and we found a group, an elite group. And from there, I went straight to nationals the first year. And I think throughout my whole high school career, I stayed in that national squad for New South Wales. But yeah, once I finished school, it was just, I guess, all the training throughout high school. There was a lot. There was quite a bit of mileage and all those things. And I'm not saying I didn't love the sport. Like, running always had, you know, a part of my heart, I guess. But it was, yeah, there was just something. I just wanted a bit of a break, and that break led to just finding a bit of, I guess, partying and stuff like that. You know, I was at that age where you're young and you experiment things. And yeah, look, through, you know, throughout my 20s, I'm 30 next year, and throughout my 20s, I've just kind of shuffled between DJing and moving on to this business and stuff. But yeah, I've done a lot of different jobs. Leaving school, I went straight to being a bartender and things. And then I did a couple of years as a guest service agent in hotels for Meriton. And then from there, I moved to do a different hotel, like Novotels and things like that. So I was always good with communicating, always good with people. And that's basically how the business started up and running. I started communicating with a couple of parents, and they wanted to get their kids running, and like it went from 10 or 20 kids or something to 50 or 70 overnight, really. And that's how we started. So yeah.
And would you mind tell us, Jordan, about your journey back into running? Because obviously you had a significant break by the sounds of things, and I have listened to your interview on another podcast a little while back actually, and it sounds like there were definitely other hobbies that you were more enthusiastic about. How did you like get back into the space? Like, what changed? And then obviously to then actually be a coach and be mentoring people, it sounds like a lot of passion now. So like how did that shift happen?
Yeah, it's a good question. I get asked this a lot, actually. But, yeah, look, like I said, I was doing DJing for quite a while. I was in those in the nightclub scene and all those things for years. And, you know, I'm not going to say I didn't love it. It was great fun. I had a really good time. But just in all that time, the late nights, the, you know, the constant partying and all those things, it just led to just feeling really unhealthy, I guess. And there was just no time for exercise when I was doing it all. So I decided to pull it all back. And I remember clearly the day I did it, one of the kids in my group, because I think I was a few years into the business when I was kind of shifting off that DJing side. And one of the kids was like, oh, I'll race you in a 1 kilometer. And I just thought to myself, yeah, I'll smash you easy. And I remember they like hemmed me. Like I think they dropped me after 300 meters or something. And I just felt, yeah, terrible about it. So from there, it was kind of like, okay, I want to get fit again. And it's definitely been a long road. I'm looking at like probably about 3 years now back running, and there's been a lot of ups and downs. It hasn't been easy considering that I was at that elite level in high school and then trying to come back and just not feeling the same way. So it's just been kind of, you know, that stepping stone. Everyone kind of has to go through that beginner back to that elite type level again. So, yeah, like if that answers the question enough, I guess, but yeah.
Yeah, it's really interesting. So does it feel like you're completely starting again then?
Absolutely. Yeah. Like I'm starting to definitely feel good again. I actually said to Warren the other night, like I ran on Sunday afternoon and I said to him, I reckon this is the fittest I've been in the 3 or 4 years back now. So it's good. That's a big positive. But yeah, I'm definitely starting to feel like I'm getting back there. Not going to say I'm going to ever run elite level again. It's still hard to know. But I'm just enjoying it at the moment. I'm really liking the long stuff compared to that fast time, a type of, you know, threshold running and all those things that I'm used to coaching. So, yeah, I'm really enjoying that long stuff. I'm still getting used to running slow and just enjoying it. So, yeah.
So it sounds like then I guess your relationship with running is very different to what it used to be. Is that something you've had to be very intentional about?
Absolutely. Yeah, like I said before, it was like it has been quite hard to be at an elite level back in high school and then coming back to it now and just not being able to run any times near what I was doing back then. It's taken a couple of years just to get kind of, I guess, my mental health in order in that way, just realizing that, you know, this is going to take some time. But yeah, you know, I'm feeling good now. It's taken a while, but you know, I'm rearing to go. So,
oh, that's so good. It's exciting, and I think you've got some exciting things planned as well. So it's good that you've had a solid 3 years now of training and getting back into it. And I guess you'd probably be quite inspired and motivated by your athletes as well, and your dad as well. So I think if we pivot back to Warren for a little bit, if you would like to let the listeners know a little bit about your, I guess, running and triathlon journey. You're quite a successful athlete throughout your whole life. And then if you want to let us know about, I guess, what started happening about 2021, if you want to let us know about that and where you're at with your health and your running at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Well, Jordan, I'll tell you that you need a couple of hours to hear my story.
He's probably heard it a few times.
Try and keep it short enough. Yeah, he has heard it a lot of times. In terms of coaching for me, I got into coaching because I was a school teacher for almost 40 years. And over the years, I've coached virtually every sport you can think of. I was even thinking the other day, there was a time that when I was probably accredited to coach, you know, 6 or 7 different sports, you know, rugby league, AFL, rugby union, surf life saving. I was heavily involved in nippers. Was the competition director at Coogee Nippers for a long while and did a lot of coaching there. So I've had an extensive sort of coaching background for a long time. And coming from triathlon and running, that was kind of just a natural transition to start coaching in those areas too, because I was doing it in school. So, you know, I started doing it outside, helping out other coaches, and then decided to take off with my own business about 5 years ago now. And it's been great. So in terms of my athletic background, you know, people say I was an elite triathlete, but I don't like the word elite. I think it gets used too loosely. But I was a decent age group triathlete over the years. But I, as a schoolboy, I didn't really do much of that sort of stuff at all. You know, I didn't even compete at a track meet at school. I remember running a 200-meter race once and came second in it when I was probably about 15. And that's really the only track experience I had back then. And I was introduced to fitness through my wife's father when I was about 17. He was a fitness freak. And when he first met me, he told me I had a runner's build and got me into running and soon after into triathlon, way back in the very, very early days of triathlon when, you know, you rode steel bike with spoke wheels and you had no nutrition at all except from, you know, banana and some potatoes or something like that in the back of your shirt. So I think the very first triathlon I did was in 1983. So a long time ago, back in the very early days. But, yeah, I became, you know, pretty obsessed with that sport and you know, quite successful as an age group. I won a lot of events. As I said, I don't class myself as an elite. I think that's a word that, you know, we need to think about how we use it, but I was fairly decent. I took a break from it because I had a plantar fasciitis injury for a while and it just made it impossible to run. So I got stuck into the surf clubs stuff then and started paddling and did weights and all that sort of stuff and put on a lot of bulk, not fat, but a lot of muscle. So I put on about probably 10 or 15 kilos there for a while. And then when Jordan started to run with an elite group, the coach was told about my sort of running background, triathlon background through the guy who used to coach me, and he persuaded me to come back to running. So I dropped from about 90 kilos down to about 65 in about 6 months of running.
Wow.
And got competitive in running again. So that's sort of how I transitioned back into running and became pretty hooked on masters cross country and road racing and things like that. So yeah, I've had quite a background in endurance training for a long time. And then when you mentioned my health, I think that's what you wanted me to sort of go into. So I've got a condition called atrial fibrillation, which you might have heard of, and it's very much publicized now in media and in the news. It's quite a common heart arrhythmia. It affects people in a lot of different ways. Fortunately for me, it doesn't give me much trouble, and I'm fairly asymptomatic. I don't really have any symptoms of it. But for me, they believe that my atrial fibrillation was caused by years of endurance training. And if you Google athletic heart arrhythmias or cardiac arrhythmias, you'll find there's a lot of information on it now. So I guess I'm the first sort of generation of guys that have come through doing that, you know, extreme sort of endurance training. And it doesn't affect everybody. It only affects a small portion of us, but some people are affected by it. So back when I was about 49, just about turned 50, I think it was 2010, I was probably fitter than I'd been for a long while. I'd been training in a really good squad along with Jordan, a whole bunch of juniors. I was one of the older guys in the group. And I was running pretty handy time for a 50-year-old, about just under 17 minutes for a 5K and just under 35 for a 10. So I was pretty handy. I was racing a lot, and just in a random checkup, they found this crazy arrhythmia happening with my heart. And at the time, I wasn't only in AF, I was bouncing from AF into normal rhythm and into a couple of others, atrial flutter. And the GP who diagnosed it just through listening to my chest with a stethoscope was quite shocked. So the next day I was with a cardiologist, and the day after that I was in the Mater Hospital, and I was defibrillated to try to put me back into a normal rhythm. And they did that. Took them about 6 shocks, apparently. I was out to it. And they eventually got me back into a normal rhythm. They sent me home. And then that same night, I went back into an arrhythmia again. And I had no symptoms of it, so I didn't know. But they showed me how to check my pulse on my wrist. And I realized that I was back out of rhythm. I called the doctor and told him. He said, I don't think that's possible. I think you're imagining. I said, no, I'm definitely out. So over the course of the next couple of days, I was just bouncing in and out of normal rhythm. And from there, I just went down the path of, for months, they tried all different drug therapy on me. which didn't work, was unsuccessful. And I went from being able to run those sorts of times to not even being able to jog 50 meters up the street without wanting to sit down or fall over. So in the end, I changed cardiologists, went to a new one who did some testing on me over a week. And they found that I was just, you know, going in and out of normal rhythm. My heart rate was getting down as low as about 14 to 16 at rest, and also getting high on the other end as well. But their main concern was that I was having long pauses for about 14 or 15 seconds of total inactivity. So I was just flatlining out and not even knowing about it. Even when I was running, I'd be running along and I'd have 15 minutes of no activity and somehow didn't detect it and stayed on my feet. So the simple solution to that was to give me a pacemaker, and hopefully that would control the bottom end and not allow my heart to stop like that, and it did. And it was very successful for a long time. I had about 10 years with the first pacemaker, and it was replaced. And then back in 2021, that you referred to, when I was again feeling really fit, I'd got back into competition. I had plans to do the Port Stephens Triathlon and hopefully qualify for Worlds in my age group. And that was only a few weeks, you know, ahead of this particular day in 2021 when I was out running with my squad and decided to give myself a bit of a test and pushed hard up a hill. Ran away from them. I put about 100 metres on them, and then I thought I'd stop and wait for them to catch me. And when I did, I just collapsed. Everything went black all of a sudden, and that was the last thing that I knew. And then when I came to, I was laying on my back looking up, and I had, you know, 15 people frantically screaming and calling out and trying to call ambulances. And I just jumped up to my feet and tried to run again. So feeling that I didn't really know what happened. I thought I fainted. So we ended up running all the way back to the park, or getting back to the park. And, you know, I felt good. So I went home for the day, didn't worry too much about it. I smashed my face up a bit when I fell. So I cleaned it up. But everyone kept phoning me through the day saying, you need to call your doctor and find out what happened. So I went up to the hospital and they checked my pacemaker, and they found out that I'd gone into ventricular tachycardia, and my heart rate was well over 300 at the time for about 30 seconds. And then I'd gone into a massive cardiac arrest. That to this day, the doctors, and I had some big tests done again last week, they still don't know how I survived it, how I actually even came to. So what followed that was about 2 weeks in hospital, in intensive care in the heart unit, four operations later. I had a collapsed artery. The main artery collapsed when my heart rate went that high. And they repaired that. That was all good. And then they decided to put a defib, an implanted defib. So I've got a defib in my chest now, removed the old pacemaker. So if anything like that happens again, if I go to a cardiac arrest, hopefully the defib will shock me and I'll survive again. So that's kind of my journey. In short, the reason why I have the arrhythmia, it's, you know, not definitive, but they think it's probably due to many, many years of endurance training. And it could have just even been one event where in training I might have pushed too hard and caused a little bit of scarring in the atria of my heart, or it just could have been a process of changing the structure of my heart over a long period of time. I don't tick any of the boxes that would normally cause these arrhythmias, like smoking or drinking. You know, don't drink alcohol, haven't had a cup of coffee in my life, don't drink energy drinks. So there's no real other answer. It's not genetic. My brothers don't have it. So, you know, the only reason they think it might have happened is because of the endurance training. But in saying that, I know that, you know, in one of the pre-questions you sent me, has it changed my attitude towards running? No, I love running. It's my life. I've done it for a long time now. Mm. I still run most days, and I still do push myself pretty hard sometimes, even though my wife Tracy and the kids don't like me doing that. It's sort of in my makeup. And I don't try to turn anybody else off running because of what's happened to me, because as I said, it doesn't happen to everyone. There's only a small percentage, if you look at the overall picture, of people who have these arrhythmias and heart problems caused by endurance training. So there's no way I'd turn anybody off it. And I will say that if I wasn't as fit as I was at my age, I probably wouldn't have survived in April of 2021. And I think, and the doctors believe too, that my fitness is what actually enabled me to stand up and be on my feet that morning.
Wow, it's an incredible story. And I think, oh, there's just so many parts to it that I'd love to dive into. But firstly, just it's so impressive and congratulations for getting through all of that. Like it's a testament to your, I guess, persistence and your diligence and your health and looking after yourself so well to get through all of that. And I imagine that that would have been a really scary time for you and Jordan and the whole family. So thank you for sharing that. It's a really powerful story. I mean, even just the heart rate over 300 is just hard to fathom, but how is the journey then getting back into running? Because I know you said that you love running and you wouldn't discourage anyone from doing it, but surely there was a little bit of fear or a lot of fear going back into it after what happened. How did you kind of regain your confidence and get back into it?
Yeah, sure. Like, I mean, there's fear every day, every time I run. I kind of think to myself, is the defib going to go off today? My defib is set at 250, so if my heart rate goes over 250, I'm going to be blown off my feet, you know, in a similar way that you see on Bondi Rescue when they hit somebody with the paddles. It's apparently the same sort of sensation. You know, I run, my heart rate goes well up over 200. I can get my heart rate 220 just doing a normal long run. But I don't detect anything. So, yeah, there's a bit of fear in it. I've lived with this for a long time now. And even in the initial stages, I was just pretty much determined to get back to running. So after the first pacemaker, on the 14th day after that surgery, and I probably still had stitches in my chest at the time thinking back to it, I went straight back and did a full-on squad session. I don't know if you know Mount Steel at Moore Park. But, you know, we did 20 Mount Steels, and that was my first session back after 14 days of that surgery. With the most recent one, after getting defib, somebody asked me that the other night. I think it was about 5 weeks until I started jogging again, but pretty quickly I was back to running at a good pace. And I was coaching pretty much the week I got out of the hospital. So... I live with the fear, but I mean, you can't let the fear stop you from doing what you want to do either. You know, the things that happened to me also led to some amazing opportunities. So I was involved with the company that builds the pacemakers called Medtronic, and they had a fantastic campaign in America where they used to source out athletes with medical devices and take them over to run the Twin Cities Marathon or the American 10-Mile Championships. And I did that four or five years in a row, which was quite amazing. I'd never been to America before, and I got to experience that as if I was one of the top African runners, because I got to hang out with them in the cool rooms and treated like, you know, picked up from the airport in a car and taken back and all that sort of stuff. So that was quite an amazing experience. And the whole in Twin Cities in America, the whole the running festival was based around these, what they call global heroes, and I was one of them. So I ran the first year, I ran as an athlete, and the following 2 years I ran as the captain of the team. And then after that, I was an athlete's mentor. So I would have never have had those experiences if, you know, I didn't have those bad things happen to me. So I always say, never, you know, look at the negatives. They're only going to slow you down. So the positives in life will make you move forward.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for sharing that. That's incredible. It's wonderful that you have such a positive relationship still with the sport and exercise, even though you say that you still feel some maybe anxiousness around running. Have you ever been given any answers by doctors around what actually caused it, or is it still like a bit of a question mark? I mean, it sounds like it's down to the endurance sport, but what does that mean? Like, is there training errors? Are there things that you're like potentially adjusting in your coaching now with athletes about how much dosage with long running or things like that? Or do you just see it as like really just really unlucky and people just need to get out and keep doing their thing and not be living in fear?
Yeah, I don't know if it's unlucky. I think it's management of the training as well. You're probably aware that after you run a marathon, or if you do a long ride, you know, an Ironman triathlon, or if you're one of these road cyclists, you're changing the structure of your heart while you're doing those exercises for a long period of time. Most of the time, your heart, from the knowledge I've been given, is that most of the time your heart will return to normal. Sometimes it doesn't. It changes the structure. It can change the thicknesses of the walls of the heart, the size of the heart, things like that. So you can do a little bit of muscle damage. For me, all my measurements are pretty good, but there's something causing an interference inside of my atria that they can't pinpoint. And the only way to pinpoint that would be to go in and do a procedure, which makes it's difficult for the doctors because I function so well. If they get it wrong, they might make a bit of a mess of me as well. So they've decided to leave me alone and just let the devices be in control of, you know, a sinister event that might happen, which is fine. I've kind of had to prove to them that I'm fit enough to continue running. After the event back in 2021, I wasn't allowed to work. I wasn't allowed to drive a car. They told me I'd never ride a bike again. They told me I couldn't exercise anymore. And I was just like, well, that's not going to happen. So I had to go through quite a lot of testing and running on treadmills and all that sort of stuff before they were confident that I could get my license back, jump on a bike again and all those sorts of things without not only, you know, causing damage to myself, but maybe causing an accident for somebody else. So as I said, I just had some big tests last week, did a pretty heavy run on the treadmill and everything looks fairly okay.
Good news. Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing to defy the odds and prove them wrong, I guess, as well. And you're just living proof that you've just got to get out there and keep pushing. I guess this kind of brings us nicely onto what you're planning to do on the 5th of August, Jordan. So if you want to tell us about what the Heartbreak 100 is, and obviously I guess we can understand the inspiration for it from Woz's story, but if you want to let the listeners know what you're doing and what the cause is.
Basically I came up with it just one time. Obviously when you're out there doing quite a few runs, long runs, especially on your own and things like that, you come up with these brilliant ideas or you just got a lot of time to think, really. I was just out running one day and I came up with this idea, obviously, with what's happened with Dad and things in general, with, you know, endurance sport and the heart and that now. I just thought City of the Surf, I've ran it a few times myself, and everyone always talks about Heartbreak Hill and how challenging the hill is and it's the hardest part of the course and stuff like that. And I've always had in the back of my mind every time I've done it, like, yes, it's a challenging hill, but it's not the hardest part. And it was just one of those things out there running one day. I said to myself, you know what, like, I'm going to prove people wrong and I'm going to say it's not the hardest part of the course. So I'm going to go out there and just run multiple laps of that, that hill. And then, the whole idea came of raising the money for cardiac research and St. Vincent's, obviously through Dad's story and things like that. So, we sat down together. I told him about it, like, I'm pretty sure it was the day after I came up with the idea, and he thought it was brilliant. We spoke to a couple of other people and they all were like, wow, this could really be something. And originally we had planned 150 kilometres of Heartbreak Hill, and then we both decided that's probably not the best idea and just much more risky, to be honest. We just, you know, only being back with 3 years of training and it being very up and down and things like that. So we just thought 100 kilometres, a big goal would be raise $1,000 per K. That's kind of what we've put together. The goal through St. Vincent's Hospital is to raise 100,000. I think we're at 24 or something thousand now. We're moving and we're still less than 4 weeks or something out. So to the big day. Yeah. So on August 5th, I'll be running 100 kilometres of Heartbreak Hill. That's 2 kilometres up, 2 kilometres down, 25 times. Yeah.
Wow. It's crazy. I think so many people can relate to that hill. If they've done City of Surf before, they know exactly what you're talking about. If they haven't yet, they should experience it for themselves. I think, it's a lot of laps. It's a lot of hills. It's going to be a lot of elevation, a long day, but it's super exciting. Was are you going to be there doing any laps with him, or are you going to be busy doing some more crew?
I told him I'd do 10 with him. He was a bit horrified when I said, I'll do 10.
There's no way you'll be doing 10.
40 Ks, we'll see what happens. it's very exciting for me. Like, over the years, I've done quite a bit of work for the Heart Foundation. I'm an ambassador for them, also for the Victor Chang Institute. And, you know, related with St. Vincent's Hospital in a number of ways with their cardiac unit. So it's great to support them. I just did a big fundraiser with Victor Chang Foundation about a month ago where they used my story and some photos and stuff like that to generate some donations. They raised $170,000, which I'm pretty
proud
of. That's great. So we, you know, when Jordan came up with this idea, I'm all over it. It's a really good cause. And I think my story is good for awareness. You know, a lot of people think that fit people don't get sick and they don't, you know, these heart conditions happen to, you know, fat, lazy people who sit around and watch TV all day. That's not necessarily the case. And as I said, you know, Google arrhythmias in elite athletes, particularly the endurance athletes, it's quite significant now. And I think, you know, with the amount of people doing ultras and stuff like that now, these things are going to become more prevalent as the years go on. So awareness is a, you know, a real focus for me to make people think just be a bit careful and manage your lifestyle around your training, which is probably something I didn't do over the years. You know, I was a school teacher. I'm also, you might know, I'm a musician, and I was working days, you know, teaching, performing in the nighttime, and then fitting in a whole bunch of training in between for many, many years. So probably just burning the candles at both ends and doing too much. And those things, along with the, you know, the elite level training, is probably something that put me at risk.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's terrifying, isn't it? Because I think a lot of people start out exercise or sport or whatever it is with this really like wholesome sort of interest, like, because it's good for you, it's good for our body, and like exercise is good for us. And maybe it's a slippery slope to just do more and more and more. And I mean, there's probably lots of examples of that in society, and especially in like the sort of like Goggins culture we live in, where everyone's like trying to do the next big thing. And yeah, there's like elements of it which I think are awesome, and probably a lot of it which is not great. Are there particular resources that you think people should check out? Because I know you said if you Google like elite athletes and heart conditions, it's probably gonna be so much that pops up. Are there things that we should like stay away from online? Like, is there some information from like some trusted websites that you recommend?
Yeah, Dr. Google's is problematic. You know, you start reading Dr. Google and you start panicking that you've got all sorts of things. So I don't sort of abide by that one. But I think that anyone who's doing, you know, any sort of endurance sport at a high level, regardless of your age, you should have some checkups with your doctor, particularly get your bloods done. Bloods are quite good at picking out any significant issues. And we encourage our kids to have blood tests fairly regularly as well. And it's surprising, you know, particularly with the young females, you pick up a lot of little, you know, issues within their blood that they need to work on. You know, you're always, if you're training in those sports, if you're doing cross country or you're doing middle distance on the track or you're out doing triathlons, you're always pushing yourself to, you know, a high level. So you want to be in control of what's happening. And the best way to do that is to monitor what you're doing with some, you know, professional help. So definitely see your GP. As you get older, of course, you know, I think anyone in their late 30s even should be getting their heart checked by at least by their GP, getting an ECG done, just seeing how things are going if you're doing those sports at a high level.
Yeah, that's good advice. I think getting an understanding of your body and I guess monitoring for trends as well. So, you know, if you get yearly checkups and just seeing how things change throughout and you can make some adjustments accordingly, I think that's fantastic advice. Jordan, if you want to tell us a little bit about how your training's been going, what's kind of the plan? Have you been programming it all yourself or how's that all been going?
It's been going well. At the start of the year, I did a 75 days challenge. And just I'll be quick with that. But yeah, it was just one thing to kind of get myself in a bit of a routine. That was the plan behind it, because obviously I had this planned in August and things like that. And so I did that to get in a bit of a routine and get training like basically every day was the goal there. So the 75 day challenge, you got to train twice a day, 45 minutes per session. You got to drink 4 liters of water. You got to eat healthy, like, so no bad foods or anything like that. And on top of that, read like 10 pages of a book a day. So it was all these things that I just hadn't done in a long time. Like, I hadn't read a book since high school in 2012. And, you know, even just my eating just changed completely. You know, I've always liked my fast foods and stuff like that, even when I was a teenager in high school. And Yeah, so all these things kind of changed, and I, you know, got back up to kind of 100 kilometer weeks and felt really good. But yeah, I just had a few niggles, and because I was so deep into the challenge, I was just running through it and just didn't want to stop. And yeah, basically too late to pull the pin type thing. So as soon as I finished the challenge in March, I pulled up with a stress fracture. And I was on crutches for, I think, a couple of weeks after it. And that basically like put me on the sidelines for, I think, about 6 weeks or something. I wasn't able to really run at all. And I wasn't able to do anything. Like, I couldn't really do strength. And then I just kind of lost the lack of motivation to, I guess, swim or cycle or do all those kind of cross training things that you're meant to do when you're injured. I basically took about 6 weeks off there where I did almost nothing. And then I was like, okay, I've got to, you know, switch back on here. So we're looking at, I think it was about start of May, I jumped in, or it was near the end of May, sorry, I jumped back into that half marathon, the runaway one. I just thought it'd be a good indication to kind of see where my body was at. And I ended up running, I think, 1 hour 26 or something. I was fairly surprised with it.
Yeah, thanks for that. That was under my name, so PB for me.
So I did run under your name, but so I was actually surprised with that time because I really wasn't expecting that after having that many weeks off. But it kind of gave me a bit of motivation again, because then I realized, okay, after that 75-day challenge, I have quite a good base here. So I've just been building on that basically every week. I've had a few niggles, I guess, come back. That hip hasn't really gotten any better. I probably didn't give myself enough, I guess, recovery between that. So it's basically at the moment just kind of getting through the training and getting through the day on August 5th, and then kind of taking a step back again and regrouping, I guess. But yeah, look, the training is going well. Like I said on my Sunday run, I said to Woz after it, you know, this is probably the best I've felt. I did a very hilly course, 17 kilometers, and I looked down at my watch and I was shocked with the time I was running. I thought I was going way slower than I was, and it just felt great. So, yeah.
Yeah, wow. Sounds like a few little bumps in the road, but overall you're still doing it and still getting out there. And I think regardless, it's going to be a big day no matter how your progression goes. And I think a lot of the time with these kind of adventures or challenges, it's a huge mental load, right? So as long as you've got a strong mind and some good support crew and good bit of atmosphere and encouragement, I think it'll get you through. And are you open to people coming and joining for a lap or coming cheering you on? Are you happy with that?
Yeah, absolutely. I've just come up with the idea, actually, if you do show up and support, you have to run a lap. So it's no matter who you are, you can get out there and just do one lap, even if it's just one of the laps where I might be walking up the hill and jogging down or something like that. That's I've kind of turned it into now, because I think there's going to be quite a big support crew there now. And I've turned it into that whole, I want you out there and getting some laps done yourself type thing. So yeah, definitely come along, get involved. I'd love to see everyone there.
Awesome. And have you got a bit of a support crew that are going to be there with your nutrition and all that jazz?
I've got the family there, which is obviously amazing. Good. I think Dad will probably be there from the start to finish, and Mum the same, and my sister. And yeah, look, like all the parents of the kids and even the kids themselves in my group have all asked how they could support in any way and things like that. So I think we're going to have a big crew there from start to finish. And people will be helping me out with nutrition and all those things. And it's taken me a bit of time to actually get the hang of the nutrition thing. So I used the Gold Coast Marathon just last week or when it was, just to kind of, you know, take some gels and see what I could stomach and just all those different things, I guess, that I haven't really gotten used to. I'm a bit like, I haven't really done anything above 50, 60 kilometers. So this is kind of no man's land for me. It's also gotten to that kind of stage where I'm like, okay, I might have to walk a couple of laps. I might have to do this and that. And I guess that's been a mental challenge for myself as well, just in that way, because I'm definitely not used to that. But yeah, it's going to be good fun.
Marquee set up on the beach down at the bottom, and you know that'll be the turnaround point at the bottom, and there's another turnaround point at the top, so we'll probably have people manning those throughout the time. Planning to start about 3 a.m. on the August the 5th,
Go
whatever time it takes.
Yeah,
awesome. That's so exciting. It's really cool. I'm so keen to follow along and hear a debrief afterwards about how it all goes. And I'm sure it's going to be a fantastic day. A little bit of pain, but a lot of joy afterwards when it's all finished. Yeah. I would love to hear as well a little bit about just, I guess, some general tips and just some more chat around your coaching, just to finish things off. I know we touched on it a little bit earlier about both your squads and how you run things, but I'd love to hear, how do you manage all these athletes, and any advice for new coaches or people who are wanting to get started in that space? Like, you've both really grown really successful businesses, starting from a couple of athletes into over 300. So if you've both got any kind of advice around that or any thoughts around each other and how you do things.
Yeah, well, am I going first? I talked before about community, and I think that's something that we've built rather than just a running squad or a run group. We've really focused on looking after everybody, and a lot of the people that we coach, we treat like family, really. As you said, I virtually know the name. I know the name of everybody in my adult squad, and I know the names of, I would say, 95% of Jordan's junior squad, because the kids blow in and blow out a little bit. But I think, as you know, if I was to give advice to a young coach starting out, I think the main thing that I would say was that you treat everybody equal. You don't just chase the elites or the ones that are going to win your medals. You've got to really look after the people at either end and all the ones in the middle, and treat them the same, know them as well as you know your best athletes. I actually was talking to a lady on the phone today who has asked me to write her a program for a couple of marathons later in the year. And she said to me, I'm not one of your good runners, but you know, I'm just happy if you could just write me something. I said, you're as good as any other runner in my group. I treat you the same as if I was writing a program for a guy I expected to run, you know, that's sub 2:30 or something like that. So I think that's the key to building a good community and earning respect. And I think there's too many coaches out there who focus on just their good athletes, and you know, the other people are just cannon fodder in their group to, you know, pay the bills. But it can't be like that. You've got to show people that you respect them equally. And as I said, I've got, you know, people in their late 70s and you know, even a man running in his early 80s with me, and he gets the same attention that anybody else would, you know. So that's key to me. And I think the other thing is, and I think something that Jordan should be really proud of, is you build your own athletes. You don't go chasing them from other groups. And I think Jordan should be very proud in saying that any kid that he's got who's represented at, you know, state or national level has started their career with him, their running career with him. He hasn't gone looking for kids from other groups and brought them over. All of his champions that he's built. So that's something I'm proud of, and I hope he's proud of it too.
Yeah, awesome. And anything for you, Jordan?
Look, that was well said. Yeah, look, obviously when I first started out with Up and Running and things like that, like one of the things that I wanted to focus on was everyone being friends and just having a really strong community. And it definitely started out like that and was built around that. And I think one of the most successful things, or the reason why we're so successful, is because we have like a group for everyone. So now it's only just recently happened that we've moved to more of a group, like I said before, where there's Australian and national level athletes and things like that all training together. And then we have more of a beginners group. And yeah, like that's definitely one of the reasons we're so successful, because we got something for everyone. And you'll be really surprised with what you can even just do for someone who's a beginner starting out as a runner. Because they surprisingly end up being some of your best athletes, especially when they're starting out as youngsters with you, and you watch them grow into the teenagers they end up being. So, yeah.
Well, one of the things Jordan mentioned before was the little track group we've started on Wednesday nights, which we've sort of given its own branding called East Elite. And the idea of that was that, you know, we had certain members out of both our the adult squad and Jordan's juniors that were probably a little bit strong for the majority of the group. So we've combined like the stronger runners from my group with his older juniors, and it's working really well. The older runners are great mentors for the young guys coming and girls coming through. It's been something that's really nice to watch that, you know, these seasoned athletes are picking up these teenagers who are just sort of breaking into those ranks and really looking after them. But for even for my older guys, it's really helped them because they don't realise how fast these young teenagers are, and they get on the track with them and all of a sudden their legs are getting blown away by a 16 or 17-year-old. So I've been getting some remarkable PBs this season from those athletes just running with the younger guys. So it's really nice to have them gelling together. That's something that's been really good. And it's building, you know, another whole aspect to our community.
And the medals have definitely been a bonus thing for me throughout the years of coaching. Every single year, we seem to improve our squad more and more. And, you know, like just looking at what we did with the cross-country season last year and the track season early this year, you know, the track season in state and nationals, we had 78 medals altogether just in my junior squad, which is unbelievable. I think there was like 20 plus something medals just at national level, which is quite amazing. And I didn't think we can get any stronger than that. And just even looking at the cross-country season starting out, we've already made more medals like than we did last season, and we're not even halfway through. So yeah, like we just seem to keep improving, and yeah, what we've put together just works. And all the athletes that we've coached over the years that have been there since day one, they've watched Woz and I both, I guess, grow as coaches. They've been loyal, they've been supportive. And that's what works at the same time as being a top coach when you've got people like that just supporting you and backing you the whole way. Yeah, like I said before, you'll be surprised with what you can do with a beginner athlete just starting out and things like that. They end up loving the sport and then they end up being one of the best in Australia. So, yeah, that's how it works.
Yeah, it's so cool. It's amazing to watch the success. It's really cool, and it's amazing to see it in person and on Instagram, just seeing all the highlights come through. And I think it's really clear that you have built a really nice community, and it is about the friendships and more than just about the medals. And yeah, it's really, really special. So well done. Lydia, any final thoughts, questions, comments, or shall we wrap it up?
It's really awesome to hear from you both and hear what you're doing. And I think I'm going to have to put August 5th in my diary, because that would be some nice city to surf prep for me. I don't think I'll be doing in fact, I won't give any number on how many laps I'm going to do. I don't think I commit to too much more than what I do. Yeah.
A nice taper run.
Yeah, nice little taper run. But no, I think I'm really impressed by that health journey and coming back into sport and having to, get comfortable again, you know, against what doctors have said. I think that's really impressive. So, yeah, thanks for sharing that. And, just really inspiring. Love what you guys are doing. It's awesome.
Yeah, thanks very much.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah. And it's been great, you guys supporting us as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Obviously, we see you both pop up all the time on social media. And, social media is such a big thing now. So it's great to have you guys both on board and supporting us as well. And we support you both too. Yeah, so
absolutely. We really appreciate it. Been great.
Yeah, thank you so much. We finally organized it. This has been a long time coming. Sorry for the delay. We're trying to get our schedule organized, but we got there probably perfect timing. I reckon this will come out just before the event, so it's worked out well. And we will have all of your links below, so your Instagrams, Up and Running, East Elite, and the Run Squad links for people if they're in the area and looking for some coaching. Definitely recommend both of you, and you can point them in the right direction, I'm sure. So get behind the event, 5th of August, Saturday, 3 a.m. Be there. And we're keen to see how it all goes.
Right. Thanks, girls.
Thanks, heaps.
It's been great.
Awesome. Yeah, thanks, guys.